Hello, everyone, and welcome to It's Alive. This is the third episode.
The long-awaited third episode.
Yes, on this podcast. My name is Lisa.
I'm Gina.
And yeah, this is a very, very exciting time to be a Victor Frankenstein fan, as most of you know. If you don't know, a certain trailer is going to be released soon.
Yes. It's about that time.
It is about that time. I am absolutely thrilled. But we had a little bit of an interesting journey to get that trailer. So a lot of people predicted that the trailer was going to premiere in front of Fantastic Four. I'm not going to talk bad about any movies or anything, but I have a strong feeling that maybe because Fantastic Four wasn't too successful or wasn't projected to be that successful, maybe Fox decided it would be better to not have it premiere in front of Fantastic Four.
Well, explain a little bit, because there is a website saying that it was projected to show in front of Fantastic Four.
Yes. So actually, a while ago, because, you know, Gina and I have been geeking out about this movie for a few months now, we actually...
No way.
when the Victor Frankenstein trailer didn't come out after Comic-Con, and we really did think that, and I kind of feel bad because a lot of people that followed me on Tumblr, I kind of set the wrong expectation that the Victor Frankenstein trailer was going to come out right after the panel. And sometimes trailers do that at Comic-Con, and sometimes they don't. And the thing is that, you know, like, let's say, for an example, the Sherlock panel, the clip from the Sherlock special was actually released the second after the Sherlock panel at Comic-Con was over. So I was kind of expecting that same thing to happen to Victor Frankenstein because it had just been such a long time since anything had ever even been, actually, nothing had been...
Had come out. Promotion-wise for the film.
Right. So I thought, okay, well, maybe Fox doesn't want to wait any longer. There's a reason they're bringing it to Comic-Con, obviously to promote it. Obviously, it's a great film to promote at Comic-Con because of James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe. However, they'll probably, you know, because everyone's all, like, hyped up and stuff because it's Comic-Con, and there's a lot of awesome movie buzz that weekend. Like, what better way to celebrate that than to have the Victor Frankenstein trailer come out right after Comic-Con. So, long story short, I kind of, like, set this wrong expectation on Tumblr. I was like, yeah, the Victor Frankenstein trailer is going to come out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming out today.
Like,
after
I can't wait.
After we watched it at Comic-Con.
Right. Like, I'm in Hall H, but I can't wait for you guys to, like, see it after it's released, after the panel's over. And that didn't happen.
Wah, wah.
And I felt really bad. And a lot of people actually kind of got mad at me. And I posted my thoughts on the trailer and the clip that they showed, and a lot of people were like, I thought the trailer was supposed to be out. Like, I don't want to read your thoughts on the trailer because, you know, I want to see it. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like,
it's weird. It's one of those things where one half of me is really sad that the trailer didn't come out because you're right. A lot of people thought, a lot of panels do release it exactly right after the panel. The other half of me is, I guess, kind of happy. I don't know the right phrase to say that it didn't come out immediately after, because then it almost defeats the purpose of camping out for two nights to see exclusive content on Comic-Con if it's just going to be released like a minute after it happens.
That's very true.
So it's this really weird dichotomy that I think, again, half of me is really sad that it didn't come out because I want to share that excitement with the other fans, but the other half of me is happy because it's like, then why did I camp out for 2 days?
That's very true. But then at the same time, we were like, okay, so if it's not coming out an hour after the panel at Comic-Con, maybe it'll come out in the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And there was a whole bunch of leaks, actually. Like, the Deadpool trailer got leaked, the Days of Future Past that already happened, X-Men Apocalypse trailer got leaked. So we were thinking, okay, so maybe this is going to force the studios to kind of release all of the trailers that day in Hall H.
Right, especially Fox.
Because they got the biggest hit, obviously, because they were the best huge panel of the day. But yeah, anyway, that didn't happen. And I felt really bad. And then there is this website called The Projection List that actually has a list of movies that they have a prediction of when these movies' trailers are going to be released. And
movies that the trailer is going to be released in front of.
Yes. And actually, before that, there's this website that rates the trailer, so rates the, or has the rating of the trailer. So for example, every movie has a rating, right? Like G, PG, PG-13, R, whatever. So this website actually rates what the trailer is rated and then how long the trailer is. So that came out a few weeks ago where the Victor Frankenstein trailer is rated PG and the running time is 1 minute and 45 seconds.
I remember that got a few people confused because they're like, oh, I thought the movie was rated PG-13. Yeah. Now this says PG. And it's like, no, it's just the rating for the trailer. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah. It's still PG-13, guys.
Yeah, it definitely should be. But yeah, so that was kind of the first thing that kind of got me excited a little bit, where I was like, okay, so the trailer has to be soon. It has to be, because obviously the people that rate the trailer saw it, they gave it a rating, and they gave it a running time. And that running time is exactly the same as Comic-Con.
Right.
Like, I don't know the exact running time, but it has to be, that was pretty much a pretty good time, if I were to guess.
Right.
It wasn't shorter or longer than that. So I was like, wow, okay, so this is going to come out soon. This is going to come out soon. Then this website called The Projection List said that the Victor Frankenstein trailer was projected to be in front of Fantastic Four.
Which would make sense, because Fox, who does Victor Frankenstein, is also doing Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four is supposed to be a big blockbuster film that's successful. It's supposed to have a lot of people come out and watch it. So it would only make sense that the Victor Frankenstein trailer would premiere in front of that, you know?
And also, a few months ago, like I said in the beginning, Gina and I always, you know, we always had fun predicting when the Victor Frankenstein trailer was going to premiere. This was like months before Comic-Con, me and her just talking. And I was like, it would actually make a lot of sense for it to premiere in front of Fantastic Four, because a lot of people are going to go see that. You know,
right.
It's just a really good marketing decision. It's a really good way to kind of bring up the hype. A lot of, not to like stereotype or generalize, but a lot of comic book fans, I think, would really like Victor Frankenstein. It kind of has that sensibility.
Sorry, guys, the cops are after us right now.
Yeah.
We apologize.
They figured out that we're creating a monster. They're going to chase us. no,
that's in the trailer.
And Victor.
In a few days, yeah.
Trailer. Anyway. So, Fantastic Four came out. I actually have a friend that works at a movie theater, and I was like texting him like all the time. I was like, hey, do you know if the Victor Frankenstein trailer is before Fantastic Four? Please let me know. I put it on Facebook. I was like, hey, if anyone's watching Fantastic Four, like in a midnight showing on Thursday, or if you're going to see it on Friday, whatever, please let me know, because I just really need to see if Victor Frankenstein is before the film, and just to see if it's in front of Fantastic Four, because I will totally run to the movie theater just to see that trailer on a big screen, even though at Comic-Con it was a big screen. But alas, my movie theater friend, he told me, no, it's not playing in front of Fantastic Four. So that was, even though that was expected, that was a bit of a bummer.
Right.
And also, that projection list website, it's an educated guess. It's not like it's confirmed or anything like that, unless it says confirmed.
Right.
On the website, to be fair, it said that the Victor Frankenstein trailer was projected to premiere in front of Fantastic Four. It didn't mean that it was going to. It was just an educated guess. And honestly, it was a guess that Gene and I have had for months now.
Right.
So that didn't happen. Some people were a little disappointed. But then Gina had the brilliant idea of the Victor Frankenstein trailer possibly premiering in front of Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
She thought that was a good idea, because although Victor Frankenstein isn't overly stylized or anything like that, it does have quite an interesting directorial style to it, just because Paul McGuigan is actually just a really interesting visual director.
Right, because so he used to be a photographer.
Right, he's a photographer first and foremost. And we know that because Andrew Scott told us that, actually. And for
he told me that personally.
Yeah, he told you. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I don't know what I would do if Andrew Scott was in front of me. I would scream. No, I wouldn't. That's rude. I think I'd just be like, you're the best actor ever.
Ever.
We're not biased. Anyway, so we really thought it was going to premiere in front of Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, because as you guys will see in the trailer coming out in a few days, it has a very Tim Burton, Guy Ritchie kind of feel, and then Guy Ritchie directed The Man from U.N.C.L.E., so I thought
right.
Victor Frankenstein would be a good fit to premiere in front of that film.
And then what really got us to think that is once again, the projection list website listed that the Victor Frankenstein trailer was projected to premiere in front of Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Right.
So we were like, oh man, this is it. This is it. I just have a good feeling. Like, I kind of put that out there on social media again that it might happen. And I really don't mean to like stir up like like buzz or hype or anything like that. I'm just kind of posting everything that I possibly can just in case, you know what I mean? It's just a just in case kind of a thing. And I even said projection list, it was an educated guess that the trailer would premiere in front of Man from U.N.C.L.E. So I'm sorry if I've let you guys down in the past with my news. I don't mean to, but so then a few days ago, a certain actor, he's kind of obscure. He's not really that well known.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know about him.
Yeah, he kind of hit his peak when he was doing this one fantasy movie series, you know?
Yeah, but his last film on that one, he was like probably 12. So.
Yeah, his name's Elijah Wood. Daniel Radcliffe himself posted on his Google Plus account that the Victor Frankenstein trailer would premiere on August 18th. Tuesday, August 18th. And obviously, I was so delighted to hear that. I posted that on Tumblr immediately. I posted that on Twitter. So many people are so excited. And honestly, I feel like this is going to be the start of the Victor Frankenstein fandom.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, we have so many awesome people already a part of it. There's this one person on Tumblr. Their name is Barry Bucks. They keep drawing me the most beautiful Victor Frankenstein fan art. Like, there was Daniel Radcliffe dressed as Igor on the set during like a filming break. There's these two. Okay, I'm gonna say this, and it is totally okay if you don't ship characters. But my ship name, and if you don't know what shipping means, it is that you. I mean, this is my personal definition of shipping. Is if you love a relationship between two characters. And it doesn't matter what it means. It could be romantically, it could be as friends,
yeah.
It could be a whole bunch of things. So for me, shipping is I love the relationship between two characters.
Right.
I also love Victor's and Igor's romantic relationship together. But that's okay if you followers don't, and it's okay if you think, like, if you don't like shipping or anything like that. However, Igor's and Victor's ship name is Igor Stein. That is the reason why my Tumblr is named Igor Stein. But of course, there's a Turpin at the end of it because Turpin's my favorite character from the screenplay.
It all makes sense now.
It all makes sense now. But anyway, Barry Bucks keeps drawing me Igor Stein fan art, and it's absolutely incredible. And yeah, it just makes me so happy. So the Victor Frankenstein fandom, also, there's this awesome person on Twitter. I'm going to pronounce their name wrong. It's Prolxix.
Prolxix?
Prolxix. It's like Prolxes. They keep doing hysterical graphics about the trailer and how it hasn't come out and about how Fox hasn't released the trailer. It's basically one of the promotional images. In fact, it was the first promotional image of Victor Frankenstein that was released. It has James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe on the set dressed as Victor and Igor, and they're kind of sitting and they're posing. But the really great thing about that picture is that the crew is around them. So literally,
the crew is like around them doing their job.
Yeah. But literally a photographer for Empire Magazine went on the set and probably asked James and Dan, hey, can you guys just like pose for me or like, can I take a picture of you guys? And James and Dan probably took it to that next level. And while they're not filming, they're probably like, let's pose as our characters. And so basically they're sitting next to each other and the looks on their faces are so complex and kind of dark.
And so telling.
And unsure and hesitant. And anyway, it's awesome, but Prolxix basically writes hysterical things on those promotional pictures of like, oh, so when's the trailer coming out? Oh, I don't know. Fox hates us. I mean, I'm like saying like the not funny stuff, but like it's hysterical. If you go on Twitter, please follow Prolxix. Like the graphics are hysterical. But anyway, so the Victor Frankenstein fandom so far has been absolutely amazing. I think everyone's on the same page. Like, we're all super excited. We all don't know what to expect, but we know that the team behind this amazing movie is going to make it something special. Like, whether it's the masterpiece that I hope it is, or whether it's just a great movie. Like, I really think we're all in this journey together, and we've all been frustrated that the trailer hasn't come out.
But guys, it's finally coming out.
Yeah, like, how do you feel about that? Like,
yes.
I'm freaking excited. Like, I honestly can't wait. Like, I've been dreaming about this for 6 months. Like, I can't wait to go on Tumblr. The GIF sets are going to be there of the trailer. And everyone's going to have, like, their own thoughts of, like, what the plot's going to be like, what their ships are going to be like, if they're even going to like the movie or not. It's just, I'm so excited. Like, this is literally the start of the Victor Frankenstein fandom, and even people that have never heard about it are going to see
exactly. it. Exactly. I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, it's just, it's a really exciting time. Like, I think we all need to soak this in, because this will never happen. This time period
will never happen again.
Seeing the trailer will never happen again.
Which maybe, well, hopefully a lot of people are excited about, and they should be. I think we're over this time period. I think it's been long enough. I really applaud all of the Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy fans that have been excited for this movie. I remember looking at the set pictures just for Andrew Scott, and I saw him probably once. So I was like, okay, I'm excited for that. And then kind of like, you know,
right,
went on with my other Andrew Scott loving life. But I feel like the Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy fans have been waiting even longer than I have.
Right.
So this is it, you guys. Ever since they started filming in what, like last January, I don't even know, 2013, late 2013?
Right. Late 2013,
this is it?
Yeah, it's a really, really, really exciting time for this fandom right now. But yeah, Gene and I will definitely get into our last thoughts about the trailer towards the end of this episode of the podcast. But we're going to move on. The next topic we're going to talk about is the 1931 Frankenstein. We actually saw it for the very first time last night.
Yeah, so I can't believe we've never seen it.
Yeah.
Like, we love films. We love older films. Like, yeah, it's a part of film history.
Yeah, I love great acting. So, yeah, I mean, anyone that doesn't know. So, came out in 1931. It was the second film adaptation of Frankenstein ever. I'm actually reading this book called We Belong Dead, Frankenstein on Film, edited by Gary J. and Susan Svella. I probably said that last name wrong. I just started it, but it's a really great book. But the very first adaptation of Frankenstein on film was produced by Thomas Edison. I don't know if that's the Thomas Edison that we know.
The Thomas Edison.
It could be. Don't quote me. I'm just going to say no, and then someone can prove me wrong on Twitter or something. But yeah, so it was a 15-minute silent film in black and white. And what I really thought was interesting about it, I haven't seen it, but I've read about it in this book. It really focuses on this really interesting subtext of the monster being jealous of Victor's love, Elizabeth. Hmm. Like, the monster, it makes it seem like he only wants Victor's attention. Like, Victor can only give him attention. And I just think that that's a really interesting concept.
Right.
I really want to see it. Like, if anyone has a link or something, like, give it to me on Twitter or Tumblr. Like, I really need to see this. It just seems really interesting. So something interesting to point out about that adaptation is that electricity is not used to create the monster in Mary Shelley's original book, and it's not used in the very first adaptation of Frankenstein.
Right.
In the first adaptation of Frankenstein, film-wise, it's just basically Victor, like, it's almost like he has, like, a potion. And he's, like, making, like, a potion, mixing chemicals and stuff like that into, like, embryonic fluid. And then out of that comes the monster. What I think is interesting in the Mary Shelley book, like, I could be wrong, but she never explains how the monster is created, right, Gina? I think it's just basically starts after, you know, all the ice and ocean stuff. Like, it kind of starts with him just saying that I've created this monster.
Right.
And you never really delve in the book, you never really delve into how.
Right.
And you know, that's an awesome choice. Like, it actually kind of adds to this weird mystery of it. Like, whoa, what did Victor do to create this thing? But I think it's cool that the very first film adaptation kind of tried to explain it. And then, so anyway, now on to James Whale's 1931 Frankenstein. I think this was the first time that electricity was ever used to explain how the monster was brought to life. And I think that's really interesting.
And it's really crazy because honestly, without this, every single other adaptation that comes after it, which is a lot, wouldn't have that electricity thing.
Right.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, like you almost think for sure that that has to be in the book, right? Like right. Literally, when you think of Frankenstein, like even if no one's ever seen anything Frankenstein, it's just this mass consciousness in pop culture that you think of the monster. So you think of Boris Karloff, who portrayed Frankenstein in James Whale's Frankenstein that we just saw. You think of that square face. For some reason, he's green, right?
Right.
Even though the film is in black and white, but I'm sure if it was in color, it's green, you know. But still, he's green. He has these bolts in his head, right? So you see that image of Frankenstein, but then you think of electricity. You think, oh, so that's how like a dead thing would be brought to life, is electricity.
Right.
So obviously this movie is iconic in so many ways. So basically, to kind of go on a little bit of a review, I guess, the film starts off in a really interesting way. I actually didn't know, I think I did know, but I forgot, but I didn't know an Igor-like character was in this film.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. In this movie, Victor's name is actually Henry, and Igor's, or what we think of Igor, his name in the movie is Fritz.
So if you think about it, ironically enough, the very first, like, more than 15-minute film adaptation of Frankenstein also has an Igor-like character, which obviously isn't in the book, which obviously isn't in the 15-minute first film adaptation. So this is crazy that there's an Igor-like character. Like, where did he come from?
Yeah, obviously Igor is not in the book. So yeah. I personally think, just from watching it, I think that in the movie, his name's Henry, I think the screenwriters probably decided, and this was also adapted from a play, so I guess the playwrights decided, I don't know if the Fritz was in the play, regardless, the writers decided that they wanted someone for Henry to talk to.
Right.
That's what I think. I don't know why he had to be a hunchbacked character, but it just seemed like it was just a really interesting thing to see Henry Frankenstein talk to this hunchbacked character and kind of order him around and kind of be physical with him. And it's just, yeah, it's just really interesting. I don't know why they decided to do that. But yeah, so Colin Clive plays Henry Frankenstein, which is the lead of this film. This is a little confusing because there's a Henry in the book.
Let's just say it's Frankenstein.
Yes.
He plays Frankenstein.
Yes, he plays Frankenstein. he's absolutely incredible. His "it's alive" line is like, I got goosebumps. I got chills.
He just seems so deliciously insane.
Yes.
I think is the best way to put it. He just seems so happy and so fearless.
Right.
And so elated that what he's been dreaming of, what he's been obsessed with, is coming to life.
Right.
But it's such an interesting choice.
Right.
Because it's almost just pure happiness.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also, what I like about it, it's also not over the top either.
Right.
It's this almost like subdued kind of craziness, and that's what makes him
scary,
a little more creepy. Yeah. Is that you're like, whoa, like there's something wrong with this guy,
right?
But so the movie starts with Frankenstein and Fritz uncovering this corpse and it was just a newly buried corpse. So you already kind of get this weird kind of feeling that something weird's happening. And then they try to there's a man hanging, and they try to get the brain from that man. But it's too deteriorated. So Fritz has to go and steal a brain from a medical school. And I think that's really interesting because then you kind of start putting the pieces together. Okay, so Frankenstein was a student in this medical school. And yet here Fritz is taking a brain. And what was interesting is that there was a normal brain and then there's an abnormal brain. And he takes the abnormal brain, of course. but yeah, essentially...
That darn Fritz.
But essentially, I'm not going to like review the entire story or anything like that, but there's this really awesome scene between Frankenstein and Fritz where they're kind of prepping the corpse, right? And in some ways, like, it was almost creepy to me. Like, they looked exactly like James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe. Like, yeah. It was a little weird. Like, I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I know that Victor Frankenstein is not a remake of this film, but I just got so many vibes of James and Dan.
Yeah, or, like, when I was reading the script, this is how I envisioned it looking like, which exactly. is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dwight Fry, he plays Fritz, and he's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, especially for originating this character on film.
Yeah. You know? Like, he has a few lines that are actually comedic.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much the comedic relief. Maybe that's another reason why they wanted him to be with Frankenstein in this movie, is to just to kind of add a little bit of humor, a little sense of, like, fun, but it's also kind of adds to the creepiness, because it's like, well, why is this character here? He like, the way that Dwight acts, it's just very almost sinister in certain. There's, like, a shot of him, like, smiling, like, really sinisterly, and I, is that even a word?
sinisterly.
But yeah, I really liked their relationship a lot. Obviously, Frankenstein was a little physical with him and kind of ordered him around, but it actually wasn't that condescending. It kind of was, but I was expecting, like, him to be even more physical and more kind of degrading.
Yeah, I expected him to also call him, like, master all the time and just, like, listen to every little thing he says. But even though he did that, it almost seemed almost as if they were friends.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah.
Like, two friends trying to do this scientific thing. And maybe I'm a little biased because I'm so obsessed with Victor Frankenstein, but I don't know. It was interesting. It's not the stereotype of Victor and Igor that you think. That's what I was thinking. I thought Fritz would have this, like, nasally voice and say, like, yes, master, all the time. And,
right.
But no, it was cool because it almost felt like Victor almost, or I'm sorry, Henry Frankenstein almost needed Fritz in a way.
Yeah, he definitely did.
And he almost
did.
Cared about him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He definitely does.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So it was really great. I can definitely tell that Max obviously took this movie as an inspiration for at least some of Victor's and Igor's relationship in Victor Frankenstein. But Boris Karloff as the monster, I mean, I'm not going to say anything that hasn't been said before, but it's iconic. He's terrifying. He has moments of humanity that you kind of grow to love him in 2 seconds when he's playing with a little girl. I think her name's Maria. It's just iconic. Physically, his physicality is terrifying and also realistic of someone that doesn't really understand how to use their body, but not too over the top and theatrical where it looks strange on film. It's like that perfect balance. His voice kind of sounds like this, like, ensnared animal, like trying to escape. His facial expressions sometimes, like, sometimes there's, like, a flash of understanding in his eyes, and sometimes there's this just kind of manic craziness and oh man, and also sometimes vulnerability. It's a really it's a really great performance. I mean, I understand why some people have his face tattooed on their arm or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's iconic. When you think of Frankenstein's monster, that's what you think of. Actually, when you think about Frankenstein, because people think the monster is called Frankenstein, that's what you think of.
Right.
And I think it will forever be that way, regardless of how many times it's adapted, which is really, really crazy to think about. But that's how amazing his performance is, honestly. It's incredible.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I can talk so many amazing things about that film, like, all day, 24/7.
And I'm sure we will.
Yes.
But here are some things when we're watching Frankenstein that we personally think that Max took from it and put it into his Victor Frankenstein. Obviously, we'll not spoil anything. I'm going to be as spoiler-free as humanly possible because we would never want to spoil anything. But the first thing that I took was the first scene, really, that we kind of mentioned a little bit with Henry Frankenstein and Fritz. The two actors, it almost felt like they added this physicality. Like, when they're both trying to get the dead body after there's a funeral procession for the dead body, right? So the funeral procession left, and then when they were walking to it, like, Frankenstein, like, pushes Fritz to, like, hurry to go get the body, and I was like, huh, finally, every time James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe say that they added physicality to their role in almost every scene, that finally clicked and made sense to me. Because I was like, how are they going to add physicality? Like, what? That what? I guess they can add in a few lines or something, but now it makes sense. And I think it's so cool seeing two actors' performances from 1931 and how, I don't know, honestly, if James and Daniel has seen that movie, but it's cool that all the way back then and even now, that's how actors portray that relationship. Like, in the script, it doesn't say, and then Frankenstein pushed Fritz so they can hurry to the body. Like, they just added that. And I feel like James and Daniel add physicality so much more than what's in the Victor Frankenstein script. And I love it. That was my very first impression of them. And I think that'll be everyone's first impressions of Victor and Igor in this film. So I thought that was awesome. I thought that was super cool. I think a second thing, hopefully this isn't too much of a spoiler because it's also in the book, how there's a medical school, how Fritz, like we mentioned earlier, had to go to a medical school that Victor went to. So keep that in mind, guys, that a school is very important. A presentation in a school is very important. Interesting. And there's a scene with, so the love interest in this 1931 Frankenstein is Elizabeth, very popular love interest through the Frankenstein mythos. And there's a scene with her and Henry Frankenstein's friend called Victor, ironically enough, and their dialogue is something similar to two other people in Victor Frankenstein that are love interests, maybe, which that popped out to me. And I can't wait for you guys to finally see the movie, and then you'll see this 1931 one, and you'll be like, oh, that makes sense. I don't know. I think that's really cool. And Lisa and I were talking about this the other day because, duh, all we talk about is Victor Frankenstein. I honestly think that Max, he made Igor Victor Frankenstein's best friend, like Henry from the books. He made Igor the monster, but he also made Igor Victor Frankenstein's love interest, like Elizabeth. Like, Igor is, like, in my opinion, a culmination of all three of those. So he's his best friend, the monster, and his love interest. And I don't mean that as like, oh, they end up together and they kiss at the end. I just mean that's who Victor cares about. That's who Igor is trying to bring Victor back from insanity, because Elizabeth tries to do that a lot through all the adaptations. And I don't know, I think that's a spin that Max Landis put on his adaptation of Frankenstein, in my opinion. So I don't know, I really love that. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, I think when the movie comes out, we'll definitely go back and kind of say, and also Max took this and this, and not took, but, you know, was influenced by this and this and this, because there's definitely a few things that could be a spoiler, but you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a few things in this film, James Whale's Frankenstein, that might appear in Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah, there's a character, another character in the film that's heavily influenced by a character, or to a character in Max Landis's.
Right.
There's a huge set piece.
Yes.
That happens in Victor Frankenstein.
Yes. So,
just saying,
if you guys want to get excited for Victor Frankenstein, obviously watch this classic of a film, and also it might inform you, maybe, on certain aspects of Paul McGuigan's and Max Landis's Frankenstein.
And I love it because Max isn't stealing.
No, of course not.
You know?
Yeah, he's just being influenced.
Influenced, and it's wonderful. And again, that's the whole point of Victor Frankenstein. It's like a culmination of what you think Frankenstein is.
Right.
But he's finally just putting all of those pieces together.
Right.
So it's great.
But yeah, so in general, I absolutely loved this movie. I think it's terrifying. I think the performances are absolutely incredible. I think it's so beautifully shot. Like, there were so many times I was watching it and I told Gina, I was like, this is beautiful. Wow, look at that shot. Look at the way it's framed.
Yeah, and the way the camera moves.
Oh, man.
It's phenomenal.
There's, like, so many just tracking shots. Yeah. Like, it follows, like, a character, like, across, like, almost like a town.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. It's just, honestly, now I understand, like, why everyone thinks it's a masterpiece. For sure.
Yeah, and guys, we'll talk about this film more. Absolutely. We can give more information away, and so don't worry, because this is very, very historic and very important to our interests. So,
but yeah, I think it would be a lot of fun maybe at some point after the movie comes out to kind of go back and literally list all of the references from all of the movies, all the Frankenstein movies, and say, hey, so this was in this version of Frankenstein, this is also in this version of Frankenstein.
Which, we're making a list, guys. So while we watched this film, I literally, like, had my laptop sometimes, and I was like, okay, so this, this, and this. Okay, this is also in Victor Frankenstein. Okay, this. So as we're watching different Frankenstein versions, while we're doing this podcast, we're going to make a list, we'll compile it, and then after Victor Frankenstein comes out, we will literally just talk about it, so... be excited for that.
Yeah, that'll definitely be a really interesting podcast episode. But yeah, everyone go see that movie. It's wonderful. I absolutely loved it. I loved it even more than I thought I was going to love it. All right, so a few more things that we're going to discuss. And we actually have a few more topics that we were going to do, but I think they'd be better after the trailer comes out. But anyway, on Tumblr, I asked everyone if they had any last-minute questions, like before the trailer or anything like that. And this awesome Tumblr user named Yaya124 said, I'd love to hear your opinions on other versions of Frankenstein. We're definitely going to do that. If you compare them with this movie, what would be the standing out point for this movie other than the new angle?
I briefly mentioned about how Igor is literally a culmination of three characters. Actually, four, if you think about it. He's also what you think Igor is. But you find out so much more about his backstory and how him and Victor met. So I think, like, long story short, and I think we'll always cover this topic in every podcast, I personally think what makes this different is that it's about a relationship, a central relationship. Like, how does bringing life out of death affect two people that care about each other? And I think it's a really cool metaphor for, like, any kind of relationship, any kind of friendship, any kind of, like, marriage. What happens when two people go through something life-changing?
Literally.
So I think something else that's different about the film is that it really just focuses on Victor and Igor's relationship the entire time.
Yeah, it's less about, like, if other Frankenstein movies, which... to be fair, I haven't seen too many of them, but if other Frankenstein movies focuses a lot on either the monster terrorizing people or the monster going on existential, you know, ponderings, as James McAvoy has said, this movie is not that. Don't expect the book. Don't expect the focus, honestly, to be on the monster. It's not.
Right.
It's really more about Victor and Igor.
And that sounds like it's a horrible adaptation of Frankenstein. That sounds like an awful version of Frankenstein. But at the same time, also think of Igor as Victor's creation. I think if you think about it that way, you'll love it even more.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, like... this film still has all of the reasons why you love Frankenstein in the first place.
Right.
So, like, blind ambition, obsession, creating life from death. And how do you do that? Why do you do that?
Why is a huge
thing in this movie that I'm not sure if any of the other movies really touch on, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, Victor has an incredible backstory in this movie. I'm not going to say if it's delved on too much or if there's like a flashback or anything like that. I won't say anything like that. But there is a reason in Victor Frankenstein why Victor wants to create life from death.
And I think that's huge, honestly.
So this movie, almost think of it more of like, it's just more about the characters. And that's honestly the main reason why Gina and I love the screenplay. It's about the characters first and foremost. And it's about these characters that are put in the situations, but you wouldn't care unless you really know these characters.
And again, guys, Igor is Frankenstein's creation. Really think about it.
But they don't know why.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. But you will know why.
Yes.
Not from the trailer.
No.
But you will know why when you see the movie. Maybe the second trailer. All right, so these are our last impressions of the trailer. It's fast-paced and energetic, and the movie seems like a lot of fun. And the trailer really, in a great way, of course, emphasizes James McAvoy's Victor. I think you guys are going to get a kick of seeing James McAvoy play a crazy role again.
I love his voice.
His voice is awesome.
It's everything you think Victor Frankenstein should have sounded like but never did.
Right.
So it's wacky but dark.
Yes.
So I love that.
Yes.
Andrew Scott's a total rock star. I will say that till the day I die.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's featured in the trailer.
Yes, he is.
And honestly, sounds and looks completely different than we've ever seen him in. So I can't wait to see that transformation. And like we've mentioned before, but I want to touch on again, I wish Daniel was in it more. He's the main character of the film.
Yeah, you don't get that from the trailer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You would think Victor Frankenstein's the main character.
Right.
Which, of course, I would always love to see James McAvoy be the lead of any film because he always makes everything better. However, so does Daniel. And it's a shame that he's not focused on more, but he's great. He's even better than we pictured him as Igor. I love his line deliveries. You just care about him always. And yeah, I really think he's going to bring that. He's also seasoned. He's a seasoned actor. Ironically, I think he always has been, but especially now, he's done theater a lot. He's done a lot of amazing films and performances. So yeah, guys, be excited about how it looks visually.
Oh, visually, it's absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. Like, now it makes perfect sense when you watch it. Oh, yeah, that's a photographer that shot that.
Yeah.
Because every single frame is beautiful.
There's one shot that I will mention in the next podcast that I'm especially excited for. That when I read in the script and then I saw it in the trailer, I was like, Paul, I love you. This is even better than I could have ever imagined it. And we will talk about that in our next podcast.
Yes. So yeah, guys, this is definitely a teaser trailer. You're not going to get the whole story or anything even close to that. It just kind of teases the story. It makes it seem like this action-adventure horror film that's a lot of fun and kind of funny and very just fast-paced and all this stuff. I don't think the whole movie's going to be like that, no. Though. This definitely highlights the action part of it. But yeah, just know that the story is a lot more complex than the trailer makes
darker,
it seem.
And darker, for sure. And more serious. Guys, they're trying to promote a film so people could go watch it. So, of course, this is more action-packed than it really is. However, there's still a lot of fun, action-y things throughout the entire film.
Right.
I think it's a great representation of the film.
Yes.
But please know that there's more characters, it's more complex, and it's darker.
Yeah, there's a lot more characters that heavily feature on the plot of the film.
Right.
So this is literally just a teaser. However, as teaser trailers go, this is infinitely satisfying.
Yes.
Like, it's not just like two clips and then text and then you're like, oh, what is this movie? It's like, no, you know what? No. It's actually a pretty good trailer. In fact, I would even say it's a trailer. It's a teaser trailer, but it also feels just like a full-length trailer. But I cannot wait until the full-length trailer. I hope Igor features a lot more in that. I kind of hope it shows more that it's his side of the story, because this teaser trailer doesn't do that.
Which, you know, might be okay, because it's a teaser trailer.
Right.
It's trying to get people kind of hooked on the concept.
Right. I just hope the next trailer focuses more on Igor's and Victor's relationship, because I said this on Tumblr, that's what's going to get people to watch it. That's what's going to get people to rewatch it. That's what's going to get people to buy it on Blu-ray, is that at the end of the day, it's about Victor's and Igor's relationship.
Yeah.
I don't think this teaser trailer really emphasizes that too much, or maybe as much as I'd like. But anyway, it's a great trailer. Jean and I are going to record another podcast episode on Tuesday, the day the trailer comes out. And I cannot believe I'm saying this, but the next time Jean and I sit in these chairs in front of these mics, the trailer is going to be out and everyone's going to be talking about it. And I am absolutely thrilled. I cannot wait for you guys to see it. It's going to be amazing. Oh my God. You guys.
Guys, this is it.
I'm like freaking out. I'm like, okay.
And we'll hopefully have a podcast uploaded on Tuesday.
Yes.
So
maybe Tuesday night, possibly Wednesday morning, depends. Sometimes we have technical issues with iTunes and stuff like that. We apologize about that. But, oh man, I cannot wait to see
this.
I better see fan art. I better see fan fiction. I better see amazing GIF sets. And when the trailer comes out, guys, message me. I want to know your thoughts. I want to include your thoughts in the next podcast. All right, here we go.
Man, have a blast, guys. Yeah. This is it.
Have a
blast.
It's alive. It's alive. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, well, we will see you guys next time.
And the podcast will be all about
the trailer. All right, we'll see you guys soon.
See ya.